I've asked Brother Bear to teach the word tonight, so would you get behind him? Amen. Brother Bear, would you come?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Schumacher, for this opportunity to teach the Word of God. It truly is a privilege, and the Word of God is why we're all here. Without the Word of God, well, we would never have known.
Right.
In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
The Word was with God and the Word was God.
Right.
Without the Word, my. And without the blood, we sang that song tonight, it's all in His blood.
Yes.
You know, this world sometimes would feel that we're almost morbid for singing about the blood and focusing on the blood. But because of the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed for us, there is beauty that is ushered into our lives. And I want to take a look in the Word of God tonight and show us something that I believe will strengthen us and will bolster us and will reassure us that this word has brought truth into our lives. The true word of God. The whole word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And we truly are a privileged people to have truth. But I also know that the Lord wants to use this group of privileged people to allow for others to have the same privilege that we have. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I would like to read a portion of scripture to you tonight from the 19th chapter of the book of John. Thank you to my wife who, now I'll bet when you saw her tonight, she did not look any older to you. But when I'm going to teach and when I'm going to minister in the prison or teach a home Bible study, I'm thankful for her. In our household, we're teaching a Bible study on Thursday nights. She provides an atmosphere and sets an atmosphere in that place that I so appreciate. I come home from work, my Bible chart's set up, and the candles are burning, and it just, I'm appreciative to her. She is a part of the ministry that God has allowed for me to have, and I'm thankful for her, and I just wanna say happy birthday to her and thank you for what you do for me. But I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. For setting an atmosphere in this place. So that we can be tuned in and focused in to His Word. Such a good and gracious God. The 19th chapter of the book of John, it wasn't such a good time for Jesus. You know, the Lord's mountaintop experience on Golgotha wasn't so good, Brother Schuster. But because He went to the hill, we can have a mountaintop experience in Him. Verse 11, actually verse 10, then Pilate saith unto him, He's talking to Jesus. Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered and said, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. You couldn't have any power unless it was allowed for you to have that power. That word power means authority or the right to control or govern. And then if you'll flip over to, well, you might not have to flip over, it might be on the same page in your Bible, but the 22nd verse of that same chapter. Actually, let's start at verse 20. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate said something so very powerful right here that would echo from generation to generation to generation. And it still has a great effect on mankind in the year 2014, and it will continue to affect mankind as the Lord tarries. He said, what I have written, I have written. Or what I have written stays written. Brother Schumacher, would you pray? Amen. You may be seated. Now, by this time in Pilate's life, I would believe that he had made many decisions that would affect the people that he had rule over. He perhaps decreed many things. He may have been responsible for people losing their lives. He made some pretty big decisions as a ruler. But that power that he had up to this point in governing where he had authority over was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. All power, all authority comes from God, according to Romans, the 13th chapter. And up to this point, he had made some very important decisions. But the Lord told him, as we read in the beginning, in the scripture text, that thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. So Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. The greatest power would be in the written word. All the decisions that Pilate had made to this point weren't nearly as important as the decision he made when they wanted him to change the writing that read on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And we saw a message here not so long ago that gave us a deeper revelation of what that really meant and why they didn't like what it said. But I want you to see that right there on Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, there was revelation that was written right there that would echo down through the generations to mankind, that would let us know who Jesus really was. He was the King of the Jews. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But they didn't realize who they had. Men in your household, as the priests of your household, the most important thing that we can stress to our families is what was written stays written. What's in the book will never change. I don't care what the world is doing, we're going to apply it to our lives the way it was written. The greatest power that Pilate would ever have would be in the written word. And little did he know, of all the things that he had rule over, the Lord was going to use him to proclaim a phrase that could affect us in this very day. Verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, it was woven from the top throughout. And you can see types and shadows, but this scripture, even though we're seeing it in the book of John in the New Testament, it points all the way back to the Old Testament priestly garments. Because if you remember what the high priest garment was, he had a coat that he wore that was without seam. It was woven from the top down. It was one piece. And the very covering that the Lord Jesus Christ had, the coat that he had was one piece. It was woven. Now the soldiers divided his clothes, if you will, into four parts. Could you see tonight the north and the south and the east and the west? People refer to it as the four corners of the earth. But there's people who proclaim to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, but they only have a piece of Jesus. They don't have the whole coat. Yet they proclaim to be his soldier. But in the next line, there was another decision made. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, his coat, but cast lots for it, whose it should be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. They cast lots, if you could almost picture them shaking dice at the foot of the cross. The greatest revelation of who was on that cross was right above the Lord Jesus Christ. And mankind was at his feet gambling, if you will, for the coat. And mankind is still gambling in the year 2014. Will I take the covering or not? Is it important to take the covering or not? And it is important. It was proclaimed way back in the Old Testament and all the way through the pages of this book. The Word of God shows us that yes, the blood was important, and yes, it had a significance for mankind to be preserved, if you will, unto life eternal. God told Noah to pitch the ark on the inside and on the outside. It was a pitch without a hitch, if you will. It was the real deal. It would preserve the ark. And it would preserve the family of God. It was a type and a shadow of many things. The written word proclaims he is the King. His name is Jesus. He was proclaimed from the beginning. The cross proclaims what the Old Testament said over and over. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God." He's coming himself. And the one that the scriptures speak about there was the very one who hung on the cross. And the revelation was right above him of who it was. He was coming himself. Genesis 22:8. You ever read one of them books where they start out with the ending, and then they take you back to the beginning and show you how it all happened? Genesis 22:8. And this is the story of Abraham. Brother Schumacher, in that powerful message he taught us on Sunday morning, talked about Abraham and his son Isaac, and what are you willing to lay down for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he laid everything down for you and I. The type and the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Isaac was the dead man. Literally, it was a 3-day trip. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. The wood on his back. All those things. Types and shadows. And Abraham, verse 8, said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Look at this. So they went both of them together. They went both of them together. The Father and the Son is one. And then, in Hebrews 9:26, the word of the Lord says this, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin." How? By the sacrifice of himself. Abraham prophesied, really, of what the Lord would do. The Baptist in John 1:29, I believe, said when he saw Jesus coming, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When this the word of the Lord says, when they looked behind them and they saw a ram caught in the thickets, that word ram actually means male sheep. And it also means one more aggressive that looks out for the flock. Who does that sound like? He is the Lion of Judah. And he does look out for the flock. It's a blood covenant. God will provide himself a lamb. Exodus 24:8. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. Israel, my Bible says, Israel affirms the covenant, a blood covenant. Yes, we sing about the blood. Yes, we talk about the blood, because it's important that the blood is applied to our lives. Just as it was important back in the days of the Passover when the blood was applied to the doorposts and to the lintel. It had to be applied. And his word has not changed. Neither has his mind. It still needs to be applied in the year 2014. Some people say it's not necessary, that it's just a outward whatever. But it's not the truth. I want you to picture those people that would strive or chide about baptism. You know what they are? They're at the foot of the cross, rolling the dice. Do I need the covering or not? Moses says to the people, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Moses rehearsed what he had back then, but a type and a shadow of the blood would have to be on the people. It was a part of the covenant. And it started from the beginning and works its way through. Let's go to Genesis 17. Verse 10. "This is my covenant which ye should keep." No, shall. "You shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations." Now here's the beauty. "He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed." He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with money, must needs to be circumcised. "My covenant," watch this, "shall be in your flesh. It shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." Remember that. In your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Those who were born in the house. You know, if you look at it in our day, some of us were born into this. And then others have come in through the word, and you've been bought with a price. And then there's still strangers. And you might not be a part of that covenant yet, but something has your attention. And what got your attention, if you're here tonight, was the word of God that was ushered into your lives. And then the Lord started working on your heart and on your mind. I think it was awesome to see the pictures tonight during the offering of the people who have been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with His Holy Spirit. They've been pitched on the inside and pitched on the outside. Preserved. They've entered into that covenant, if you will, that blood covenant. And then the Lord has allowed for us to have a man of God who continues, like Moses did, to instruct the people with the word of God, to help for us to live. And then it's the washing of the water through the word. We come in here and the word of God cleanses us from the filth and the corruption that we rub up against in this world. And it's getting dark. Amen? "And the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." No covenant. You're not a part. Is it important to enter into this everlasting covenant? And really, it does affect us. Now, we know the New Testament talks about a circumcision. Let's go to Colossians 2 and verse 8. And I know this is familiar scripture to you. But I want to reconfirm something in your mind. Because if there was ever a time in this world where the adversary wants to shake us and confuse us and wonder, is it really important? Does it really matter? Is all that necessary? It was for the joy that was set before him that Jesus endured the cross. And he endured it for us. The joy, I told the prisoners on Saturday night, last Saturday, that what he endured made it possible for them to stand in the bleachers of a gymnasium in the Racine Correctional Institute to raise their hands and worship and praise the Lord because they had been set free. The world would tell them and the world will tell us, what do you have to worship for? What do you have to be so excited about? I'm excited because I've been changed. I've been washed. I've been bought, and I'm going home one day. There's more to it than just this. And so there they were, 500 plus men worshiping in that place as the presence of the Lord ushered down the aisles. It was awesome. It was powerful. And the world would say, what is your problem? Because they have not entered into the covenant. They don't understand. But neither did we. It didn't make any sense to us. Some of us in here that got our first dose of Pentecost, whew, man, them people are over the edge. Yep. Shaking and weeping and quivering and tambourines shaking. I got a full dose. It shall be in your flesh an everlasting covenant. Okay, Colossians 2, verse 8. Now look at this. Here it is. Here's the world. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. No, you just have to accept them. No, that they did away with that. We don't have to do that anymore. Really? Beware. Nope, that's good, brother. Thank you. Verse 9. For in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in who? In him, in Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. You know, Isaiah 9 and 6, the scripture that talks about, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his headship. He's in charge, in whom also ye are circumcised, what? With the circumcision made without hands. In the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We're buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. But were buried with him in baptism. Amen? It's important. And then Galatians 3, I'm sorry, you know what, brother, go back there where you were. I believe it's verse 14 of that book of Colossians. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There it is, nailed on the cross again. And we have the revelation of who was on that cross. We know who made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. Blotted out, taken away. Well, how would you do that without having them washed? So then, Galatians 3, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. See, remember in the covenant with Abraham, the males were circumcised. And that was a token of a covenant between the Lord and his people. So here it doesn't matter. There is neither male nor female. Do you see what I'm saying? Back then it was the males, but now there is no discrepancy. We're all a part of it. Male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. Remember, it's an everlasting covenant in your flesh. And we become Abraham's seed, or the flesh of Abraham, if you will. And heirs according to the promise. See, what I want you to see tonight is this. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Brother, would you give me a hand here, please? You were going to clap, weren't you?
I thought you were looking at someone else. I'm sorry.
Hold this. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The filth of the world is gone. And the righteousness of Christ is applied to our lives. My word says that corruption will not inherit the kingdom. So why would we think, why would anybody think that you can enter in to a place that the Almighty God has provided for us with all the corruption that hangs on us from this world? But when we put on Christ, and see, now we are in Christ, we are complete in Him. And then He enters into us, and we are pitched on the inside and on the outside. When they pierced Jesus on the cross, another type in shadow, out of His side ran blood and water. The Spirit on the inside, the blood on the outside. It was the church. And now you and I are that church. We are the body of Christ walking around in this world. Are we perfect? No, but He is. And I want you to remember this, because you are different. And in the spiritual realm, when you walk through this world, this is what you look like. In the spiritual realm, The righteousness of God has been applied to your lives. Why do you think you can walk into a room and just irritate people? Huh?
Who does he think he is?
Well, it's because something's been applied to us. Something that will make a difference for eternity. And the same application, though we can't see it. You know, do you remember when Cain slew Abel? And the Lord said that his innocent blood cried from the ground. What are we made of? Dust. And what's on us? The innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people persecute you, accuse you, the blood's crying to our Father. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know, I saw the other night in Scripture, remember, and God remembered Noah. But if you look in Scripture, there's a lot of people that God remembered. God remembered. God doesn't forget about us, but there's a season that we have to go through. There's things that we have to go through in our lives. It's a process that God has for just us. But remember what you're going through it with, and remember who you're going through it with. Amen? We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Don't think that it doesn't make a difference. The book of Revelation talks about the saints and the robes of righteousness. Psalms, the 5th chapter, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Yes, even in the bad times, we can rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. And look at verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous, and look at this, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Do you see that? Picture yourself walking through this world compassed with the favor of the Lord. He compasses us with a shield. There is not a situation that we need to be afraid of. But the adversary wants to use fear in this world to stop the child of God from pressing on. But we are walking through this world compassed with the favor of God. No matter what the situation, he has us covered, if you will. There's not a situation that he can't take care of us through. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Do you remember when the nation of Israel was in the land of Goshen? And then when the plagues came forth and there was the plague of darkness. For 3 days. 3 days. It was so dark. 3 days in the grave perhaps. But the Bible says that there was light in the dwelling place of the Israelites. So even though it was a darkness that you could... You ever been in a place where it's so dark, it's like you can feel it? Me and my wife were up north one time, and it was so dark way up in Eagle River. I won't tell you, Honor, that don't tell her I told you this. She had to put a nightlight in because it was so dark she couldn't sleep. In this world of darkness, the Lord has dwelling places of His light. They see us. They know who we are, but it's for a purpose. And I'm wondering, and really the scripture explains it, because the Bible says when that God took them out, there went with them a mixed multitude also. How many of those Egyptians, I wonder, Pastor Schumacher, were watching the Israelites thinking, you know, they got it a lot better than we do. Everything that we're all about is being destroyed. But they... Hey, what do you say we duck out with these guys? And you know what? There's somebody at your workplace. There's somebody where you go. They've been watching you. And they see that in the valleys of life, there's something that emanates from you that's different. You're not dropping the simple language or the foul mouth when things go on. You have something different about you. We're not perfect, but we're different. And there's people that wish they had your power, your ability, if you will, to handle a situation like that. And then when it's right, then when they can't take it anymore, when they need an escape, they're going to pull up alongside you and say, hey, could you tell me why? And you know what? You have the ability. You have the word inside. And you have the blood on the outside. And the Spirit of God. And He's asking us to be His mouthpiece in this world. You know, in the valleys of life are where we actually get closer to God. Huh? And really, the valley was a place where Joseph was able to hug his father's neck. They were reunited, if you will. And sometimes it's our valleys in life that get us closer to God and cause for us to embrace Him more. It's a process. You know, this is interesting. Me and my wife love to camp. And we were able to get a different travel trailer last summer, a trinket, if you will. But you know what? The trinket has problems. It's a passport. It's called a passport. You know, this covenant between us and God, it's called a passport. We have the passport. We can go to another country one day. But there's problems with the trinket. It looked great on the outside, looks nice inside. But what happened was that there was a flaw, and there was a breach in the wall, if you will. And now the elements of the outside started getting inside. And I think of the scripture about rust and moth and corruption, and there was rust dripping from this thing, and I thought, something's not right. So they looked on the inside. And we saw pictures. It's really ugly. It's brand new. Looks great on the outside. But there's problems on the inside. Because it was exposed to the elements. Sometimes we become brand new creatures in Christ. And we look good. But if we get too close to the elements, sometimes they can get on the inside. And there's a problem. Oh, and we can look good and go through everything. And so, thank God it's a warranty issue. This thing has to be refurbished. And it's going to Indiana. And I said, where exactly is it going to in Indiana? And we've been witnessing to the CEO of Burlington. He loves the Lord. I kind of have him following my lure. And we talk about God all the time. He wants to know what's happening with this home. He said to his people, you make sure I know what's happening with the Bears. He wants me to come out one day and talk to his people about customer service and share some of the experiences about, because you know what? He treats people according to godly principles. I said, where are you taking it? He said, Indiana. Where in Indiana? It's going to Goshen, Indiana, to be refurbished. Going to the valley, if you will. And sometimes that's where we have to go. But it's in those valleys that our light shines even more to those people in the workplace. The covering is important. The covenant is important. And it's an everlasting covenant. But God wants us to teach this very same thing to other people. Psalms 119, if you will. I'm coming to an end. Psalm 119 and 105. Very familiar portion of Scripture, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It helps me to get into perspective of where I should walk and how I should walk and where I should go. But it's also a light unto my path. It's the light of a face or brightness. Usually resulting from relief from a trouble. That's what the strong says. And also, being a light unto my path, it's a lifestyle. And wherever we go, our lifestyle shines a light. What we do and what we say is seen by people. More than you and I realize sometimes. So it really is important how we walk, how we talk. It's important that this blood has been applied to our lives. It's important that we have received the Spirit of the Lord inside. What must we do to be saved? And we know what the Scriptures say. You can't just have a part of Jesus like the soldiers had at the foot of the cross. Every thread that was woven, everything that distinguished what he looked like, perhaps was in those threads. You cannot tear it apart and just take a piece of Jesus and expect to have the fullness of him. It has to be all or nothing. Close with these scriptures. In the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And his name is Jesus. Verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Is it important? Is the blood of Jesus Christ important? Yes, it is. And it needs to be applied to our lives. So when that time comes, just like the death angel passed over the household that had the blood applied, so too will it apply to our lives. Is the water important? Yes, it is. Corruption will not inherit. We need to be washed. Amen. This covenant, this everlasting covenant, everlasting means forever. And there is no cheap way. And we've heard this before, the grace of the Lord has been changed into cheap grace. But I don't want to take something that the Lord gave his all for and make it something cheap. He paid the ultimate price for you and I, so that we could apply that blood to our lives. And yes, it is applied in the waters of baptism. So I ask you, is baptism important? Yes, it is. And don't you let the rudiments of man or the traditions tell you, no, it's not important. Stand on what the Word of God says. As you are approached by these people who are looking to find a way out, the mixed multitude, you can show them the covenant. Show them how it applies to us. Show them why it's important. It's who we are. But it's who we are because of who he is. And that is the ingredient that will allow for others to be a part of the same everlasting covenant that you and I have had ushered into our lives through the Word of God. Would you stand with me? If you're in this place tonight and you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, well, perhaps now you understand why it's important. I hope that's the case. If you have been baptized in the name of Jesus, you have reason to rejoice tonight. He did come to give us life and life more abundantly. But we should not, church, be comfortable just coming to this altar and rejoicing because we got ours. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. A mandate. Thought it was so awesome what Brother East said about the seed and how the world wants to produce things that don't have seeds anymore, hybrids. But you know what? We, according to the scriptures that we saw tonight, are the seed of Abraham. Certified seed. Good seed. The best seed. And so I challenge you tonight. Do you think that the seed of the Almighty God should reproduce? That's who we are. That's what we're a part of. We are the flesh of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, brought into this through the covenant. Plant the seed and allow for somebody else to be a part of the same family. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bear. I'm charged with preaching the whole truth and nothing but the truth so we can get all of God, not just a portion. I was thinking tonight as he was talking about how they separated his clothes, how on the Passover, it says in Exodus, the 12th chapter, "And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning." In other words, eat all of the lamb. Take all of the lamb. Because if you don't take it all, you don't have it all. I believe that God wants to do a great work in these end times. "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." There's going to be great moves of God in these end times. I had a call from a lady this morning and said, "Pastor, I want my baptismal certificate." And I said, "Who are you again?" "Well, years ago, you know, you baptized me." And I said, "Well, where are you?" "Well, I'm going to a denominational church, and you know, the preaching isn't so long." And, you know, I said, "So why do you want a baptismal certificate if you really don't believe? You see, is this something that hang on your wall?" And what I'm saying is, in order to see the move of God and the revival and a demonstration of God's miraculous hand, we have to take all of Jesus, not just a corner, not just a part, not what we have just decided, "Well, that'll go well with me." Our general superintendent, Brother Bernard, said this at General Conference this year. He said, "We always point back to the apostles and all of the great works that were done And oh, if we could have lived in those days when there were so many miracles. And you said, you know, someday the apostles are going to look at our generation and say, oh, if I could have only lived in that generation, because greater works than these will we do. But the problem is we have to take all of Jesus. If we don't take all of Jesus, well, then we just get a fragment of what God really has for us, and he wants us to have it all. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bear. The altar's open. Would you come?